Do that a whole lot better than I could. My voice doesn't hold up as long. But that kind of just popped up on my computer yesterday while I was listening to a song. And I told Ray, I said, maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something. But what Billy Graham talked about is how I would be judged, how we'll all be judged. And it just struck me that I don't use everything I've got. I'm left wanting. To us is to be desirous of something. I'm desirous of it, but I'm just sometimes too busy, too lazy, too no caring, my mama would say, to pursue it. I've been convicted of this for a while, and I don't want to cry. I'm crazy nowadays. Sorry about that. I know that as I go about life every day, I'm always mindful of God. And there's been a time in my life I wasn't. I just kind of insert him here and insert him there when I needed him. But I'm always aware he's with me and he's in my mind. And I ask him for guidance as life goes on. But the thing is I don't stop to look him in the face sometimes. Don't you hate it when you're talking to somebody and they're looking off like this, and they won't look you in the face? You try to tell them something, and they don't want to look you in the face. I tell my children, I say, now you look at me, give me your eyes. God said, Billy, look at me, give me your eyes. Give me your whole self, not just the parts that are left over when you get through with your busy life. I've been convicted of not devoting more quality time with God. Recently, since February, I've been trying to get hardwood floors finished in the house, and they were done. But I'm still unpacking. And it's a big thing to go through all that. And I thought, as soon as I get these boxes unpacked, as soon as I get all the curtains back up, they're not, by the way, as soon as. Ray and I watched the movie, had the opportunity. We've been told for a couple of years now, so maybe more, you gotta watch War Room. And we plugged in a Fire Stick, and War Room was available to us. So we watched War Room. It was like a punch to the head, the gut, as they say, to me. What are you doing, Billy? What are you doing? You're going through the motions of religion, but you're not looking God in the face. You're not giving him time to talk to you and you to listen. I believe Ray felt convicted too by it. We both read our Bible. We both listen to lots and lots of Christian literature, things online. But there's just something about the way they presented this movie. If you hadn't watched it, you gotta watch it to understand where I'm coming from. But we know in it by the name of War Room, I thought it was about the Pentagon and maybe something going on in the world, even though it was a Christian movie. But I was surprised. It's about the war in our homes, the war in our communities, among friends, among just everyday life. It's how the devil is tearing us apart bit by bit. And it's happening while I'm reading my Bible, while I'm talking about Jesus, while I'm praying for my children and telling God how I want them to handle everything. It's going on because I haven't looked him in the face. I've got two pages here and I'm not really using them. I'm sorry. But do you have that feeling? You just love him so deeply. I feel like he's a part of my DNA, my cells. He is the reason I breathe. But I still don't give him all the attention he deserves. And therefore, I don't get all the good that could come from looking at him face to face, giving him my total attention and listening to him. You know, if you look at somebody face to face, you see if they're happy or if they're sad, if they're disappointed in you, or if they're amused by you. When you're just talking at somebody, you don't pick that up. One of my favorite scriptures is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear them and I will resurrect them. Well, you know, when Ray and I were first married, and probably about 2 years out, the honeymoon was over, so to speak. And we moved to Kipling, and it was work, work, work for both of us. And I'd go home, and I went and told my mama all about that Ray Bryant. He was not as perfect as she thought he was. I was just laying it on me, and she said, wait a minute. She said, I said, Mom, I don't know what to do. She said, go back to your first love. Go back to your first love. And I found the scripture in the Bible. It's in Revelation chapter 2. And I'll start at verse 2. That's where John was talking to the church at Ephesus, to the angel in the church of Ephesus, and wrote this. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. You found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet, I hold this against you. Weighing in. God's weighing us in. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Return to your first love. You know, as I was thinking about that, he said, I know your deeds. He knows what we've done. He knows our hard work, our perseverance. He said, you've endured for my name and you've not grown weary. We keep on at it, don't we, every day, trying to be what God wants us to be. But yet, you've forsaken your first love. When you think back to your first love, of your own lives, mine's sitting back here. We were a little more tolerant when we were in the dating phase and the honeymoon phase. But then it's, let's get down to business. And things changed. And attitudes changed. And we put up walls. And sometimes we do the same thing. I'm conscious of doing the same thing. God, I ask you for this. And you didn't give it to me. You said, if I give you the desires of my heart, ask you for the desires of my heart, you would give them to me. And you didn't do it. Laura Early, the pastor, I know you all have heard us talk about her. She has the All God's Children Church in Atlanta, North Carolina. And she had a talk last spring, a year ago. She said, what's important to God's heart is what's important to your heart. And then she switched it around, and she said, what's important to your heart is what's important to God. Wait a minute. What's supposed to be the most important thing to my heart? It's God. It's God and my relationship to God. Your relationship to God. And if God's what's most important to my heart, I will not be left wanting. When I'm getting weighed, I won't be left wanting when we meet, whether that's at a mortal death or at Christ's return. Jesus gave us the example of a life with God foremost in all that we are, through his prayers, his knowledge of Scripture, and using it to ward off Satan. Jesus showed his love, mercy, grace, compassion, and kindness, all reflections of God, wanting nothing. Today, James is going to play our invitational hymn. I put the lyrics on the back of the same lavender sheet. You can listen along with it. I would prefer that you stand. But as I'm praying and I'm asking God to help me be more like he wants me to be, because this is a work in progress, this life with Christ. It is a work in progress. None of us will ever be perfect on this earth. But he expects us to continue to try to seek his face, to seek his face. In the war room, one of the things that really struck me, all of us have things that trouble us within our families, sickness, mental illness. Oh gosh, some families have drugs to deal with. But do we actually make a list? In the war room, this sweet little old lady had her closet cleaned out. And all she had in that closet was sheets of paper with items written on it, a letter to God telling what she wanted for particular people, her husband, children, her neighbors, person she really was concerned for and loved, the nation. She had those things taped all over that walk-in closet, and she had a rocking chair in there with her cushion. She said when she first started off, she was on her knees, but she was in the rocking chair, and she spent hours in that room praying to God. That was the war room, the war between good and evil. It has to be conquered in prayer with God and with quietness and looking in his face and talking to him in a most personal and private way. And that is my goal. And I pray you'll make it your goal too. And if you haven't seen that, I believe that movie was put here for Christians to better themselves. And if we're not bettering ourselves, you know, in this movie, one lady said, she was questioned by the woman with the war room, the sweet little old lady, and she said, do you go to church? She said, I go to church, but that's not what I'm here about. I'm real estate. She wanted to sell the lady's house for. And she said, do you read your Bible? But that is not what I came here for. She would take it away. She wanted to say, I'm a Christian, but she didn't want to talk about the real truth, was it? She had given her life to Christ, she said, but she wasn't giving him anything else. She wasn't giving him her time, her thoughts. Her family was falling apart. Her husband was being unfaithful. Her daughter was left wanting and needing her attention at a critical phase in her life. Doesn't it sound like our homes? Doesn't it sound like what goes on with us? And she said, you've got to start your battle in your room, in your war room, in your prayer closet. So let's start it this morning. And James, if you'll play, if you'll all stand and you can listen to the words, I invite you to the altar to pray for our church, for our community, for yourselves, your neighbors. And if you don't want to come here, find somebody in the pew to pray with you, okay?